Hello and welcome to the Friday, October 26th, 2012 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Standards today we got from our Layer 2 expert Richard Porter about different audio and video networking technologies and how they converge on Ethernet. In particular, I think of interest here is audio-video bridging or AVB, which is an open IEEE standard that's currently being worked out. But what we're talking here about is not so much the voice over IP that we are sort of used to, but instead voice and video directly over Ethernet. So what you may see, for example, is audio-video distribution systems in conference rooms and hotels and such using networking cables to actually transmit the signal, but not IP-based, instead just directly audio over Ethernet. The part that Richard points out here is that so far there's really very little consideration to security here. And if you think about possibilities like remote monitoring of conversations and such, thinking that these networks will likely share the same hardware, the same infrastructure as other network and IP-based services. And AVB is also being considered for cars. Now, in a car, the security aspect may not be that dominant if you think about the car as sort of being a closed air gap network, but these days, of course, many cars do interface with the internet while in motion. And then Windows 8 is available as of today to the general public, so you may start seeing users show up with it. I hope you had an opportunity to take a look at Windows 8 by downloading it via your TechNet subscription. Certainly worthwhile to see what it does to your network and how it responds. IPv6, of course, is very deeply integrated into Windows 8. Another feature that sort of was pointed out today in some news report is that TPM2, which is the new version of the Trusted Computing Module that has been around for a while, but in this new version, a specific cipher that's approved by the Chinese government has been included, and of course is giving rise to numerous conspiracy theories. In particular, since the use of TPM isn't actually legal at this point in China. And the TSA and boarding passes are in the news again. If you remember, there was a story a couple years ago that you could print your own boarding pass. Now, back then, really only the visual information in the boarding pass was verified. Since then, a lot of airports started using barcode scanners that actually scans the barcode on the boarding pass. In addition, a new program was introduced known as TSA Pre. Now, TSA Pre gives you a substantially faster security check. You only go through a metal scan detector with your shoes on. You don't have to take any laptops or fluids out of your backpack. Turns out that the information whether or not you qualify for this program is also encoded in this barcode and it's in the clear. Now, what isn't quite clear to me is whether or not it's digitally signed. Now, the scanner they're using to read the barcode is not network connected or such, so it does not actually verify your barcode, your boarding pass to live flight data. Instead, it just relies on the barcode itself. The fact that the code is readable is not as big of a problem as the fact that it could actually be altered. When I looked at the specification a while ago, it actually looked like there is a digital signature. However, in the news article, it sounds like all the information is in the clear and not signed, and the signature is missing from actual boarding passes. And then finally, more SSL woes, and it's really hard to tell apart different news releases because they all essentially point to the same issue, and that's that some software does not sufficiently validate the digital signature certificates to make sure they're properly signed. Now, in this case, it's just essentially libraries like OpenSSL, GNU TLS, and such. It's not that the libraries are wrong, it's how they're used that, for example, they're not the correct certificate authority bundle that's being used that usually comes with these libraries. I've run into this problem myself in some cases where different operating systems, even different Linux distributions, store the certificate authority bundles in different spots, which sometimes makes it hard to sort of write your software to actually work on different systems. And as a shortcut, some developers just don't check whether or not the certificate is properly signed. And of course, this then invites man-in-the-middle attacks. Well, thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.